This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a gunner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A gunner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Sounds like roads are terrible and it's cold and snowy in St. Louis. Hopefully you were able to have yourself a day at home, possibly. We don't want you being out on the roads if you don't have to be. It's a little bit warmer here in Florida as we do welcome you in to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. It's great to have you with us today. We'll take you for the next 2 hours till 8 o'clock tonight. This is our only full two-hour show this week as far as Sports Open Line. We'll have countdown to opening day coming up tomorrow night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, but we'll get done earlier. We may not even have a show at all coming up on Friday due to Billiken's basketball. So we've got a lot to get to here today. A big day in Jupiter. It was the first official workout for pitchers and catchers. A number of position players were out there as well today, but it was the first time that pitchers and catchers had been going through mandatory work, and that included a good number of pitchers getting onto the mound and throwing their initial bullpen sessions of this spring. So it was really good. I mean, you think about the sounds of baseball. We started to hear it a little bit today. There continues to be a fair amount of optimism internally about this team. I think externally, there's not much optimism. This kind of goes back to what I've talked about for the last couple weeks, that I would contend that the Cardinals' ceiling and the Cardinals' floor, there's about as wide of a gap between those two things as there probably is with just about any team in Major League Baseball. This team, you can see the equation for this team overachieving and having a pretty solid season. And you can also see the equation for this team just not playing well at all and really having a pretty bad season. But internally, inside of that clubhouse, on those fields, there's a lot of guys who believe that this team is going to play better than a lot of people are giving them credit for. And it all starts now, because the next 6 weeks are going to be spent getting ready for a season. First Grapefruit League game is going to come up in about a week and a half. Next weekend is when that gets started. The first full squad workout will be on Monday, and that means first full squad report day is on Sunday, or not the first, but the full squad report day is coming up on Sunday. And the big question is, does Nolan Arenado show up to Jupiter, Florida as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals? And nobody really knows the answer to that right now. I continue to believe that he is not going to come to Jupiter. I continue to believe that a deal is going to end up getting done shortly after Alex Bregman signs his deal, which I think will probably happen at some point this week. But I could be wrong on that. I'm the same guy who sat here on this radio station and told you that I was pretty convinced that Arenado would be moved before New Year's Day. And obviously I got that one wrong. I give myself a little bit of a mulligan on that one, because they had a deal done with Houston and he turned it down. So I wasn't expecting that from him. But the point being is, I didn't think he would still be a Cardinal, and he still is. And here we are, where they're at a point where they got to get it figured out. So coming up next hour, in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to spend much of the hour going back through what both President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak and Manager Oliver Marmol said today, because they each had their start of spring training press conferences, and they each talked for about 15, 20 minutes, cut up a bunch of that audio, and we'll play that for you, and I'll give you my thoughts on some of the things that they said. But if you want to get a good primer for where the team is at right now, according to Mozeliak and Marmol, we'll be able to give that to you coming up next hour for sure. This Arenado thing, though, Mo today, you'll hear it if you stick with us, and I hope you do. Mo today essentially said that they still intend to trade Arenado, but it has not gone the way that they expected it to go. Talked about market forces continuing to impact things. I think that's in reference to the Bregman deal not yet getting done, but the team is kind of stuck in this situation where there's some things that they want to accomplish this year, and they may not be able to accomplish them with Arenado on the team. And it's very much connected to giving some players an opportunity and giving some players a certain number of at-bats and things like that. Is the team better with Arenado than without Arenado? I think you can make that argument. There's no guarantee of that. It kind of depends on whether or not Arenado is going to have a bit of a bounce back season. If he's the same guy he was offensively this past season, I don't think it's that big of a difference. Now, obviously, you can make the argument that he is the greatest defensive third baseman in the history of Major League Baseball. If he's not that, he's in the conversation. He's top three, top five at the very least. And he still plays high-level defense. He's not the best defensive third baseman in all of Major League Baseball anymore, but he still gives you elite high-level defense at third base, and there's value to that. So if he leaves, no matter what, the defense is not going to be as good. And that is going to be a storyline for this season, especially when you consider the fact that you're going to have Wilson Contreras over at first base. Paul Goldschmidt saved a lot of errors, and that's something that Contreras probably is not going to be able to do. Now, Contreras should be able to more than make up for that with his bat, but there's going to be some more misplays on the infield for sure as a result of not having one of the best defensive first basemen out there. So we got a lot to get to, including a conversation with Bernie Miklas. He's going to join us coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line as we broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, here on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are continuing to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Again, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, We're going to go through just about everything that John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol had to say today, as each of those individuals held a beginning of a spring training media session with us, the assembled media here in Florida. Let's go to the guest line right now. Very happy to welcome on to the program, part of our team. You see him on the Gas House Gang. Of course, he's part of, he does his own YouTube channel, At the Bernie Show, which is a absolute must subscribe to. He is Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
Matt, doing well, man. Good to know you're down there in spring training, keeping track of everything. And you're on the Nolan Arenado watch, which it's going to continue on, it looks like.
It is. And I know you read or listened to much of what was said today from both Mo and Ali. So I'll ask you, what stood out to you from their introductory comments today?
Well, I appreciate John Mozeliak's candor, as far as, he's not trying to mislead anyone into thinking something's imminent or that he's got a lot of confidence. I think he, if you go back in time, I think he probably regrets making an Arenado trade sound a lot more likely than it was. But I also think maybe he got some bad information along the way, and that happens. But my thing is just prepare for the fact that Arenado might be with the Cardinals. I mean, Matt, you know this, man. I've been talking about it. I've written about it. I've done a couple of videos on it. I mean, if Nolan Arenado is the Cardinals' third baseman this year, yeah, there are ramifications. It's going to mean less opportunity for other players. We've all gone through that a bunch of times. But it's there are a lot of worse things you can have than Nolan Arenado playing third base. So he's still one of the very best defenders in the game at that position. He was above average offensively, not much above average, but above average. His bat speed improved late in the season. His numbers in July and August were good. I was surprised to go back and look at some of the things from last year, and find, discover the last couple seasons, especially last year, Nolan Arenado hit very, very well at Busch Stadium. So he's still a player that brings value to your team. And I think the expectation level that he would be traded, has sort of created this feeling that, well, this is this has all gone wrong. To an extent it has, but again, it's not like this is a dire situation where everything is going to fall apart if he plays for the Cardinals, because I think he'll be a pro. He'll show up and do his job. And if he wants to get traded, say at the trade deadline, he's going to be highly motivated to have the very best season that he can.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, Bernie, because if you're Nolan Arenado and you're only iffy on one of these teams that might be interested in you, but you feel like if you can come out and start the season and have a really strong start, then there might be some of those teams that you're more interested in being on that maybe they would be interested in you. There is the opportunity to bet on himself if he wants to do that.
And if he's having a good year, and if there's some injuries, not that we wish injuries on any other teams, that's not the point, but injuries do happen. If there's some injuries, that the Cardinals might actually have a market for him at some point during the season, and if it's closer to the deadline. So there might be more possibilities. But if he gets traded, that's fine. That's good. But if he's not traded, I'd rather kind of look at ways that helps the team, So because I've never really believed that this is a full reset anyway. I think it's like a partial reset. And yeah, this would make it more difficult to find enough at bats for some people. But Nolan Arenado, if the goal is to win in 2025, Nolan Arenado helps you win. He was, more than three wins above replacement again last season, and that was in a down year offensively.
I'm not overly convinced of it, Bernie, but it's kind of a 51-49 type thing. I think he gets moved, and I don't think he reports to Jupiter. I think they get something done shortly after Bregman signs his deal.
Yeah, when will that be, though? And by the way, I know you're not in charge of that. I'm just saying. I just don't know when Scott Boras plans to release his client.
It's frustrating.
It is.
Yeah. I don't understand if you're Alex Bregman and you're sitting here on February 12th, is anybody really going to add that many more years or that much more money to the deal? Like, the deals are the deals. Make your decision, man.
Listen, the Houston Astros offered him a really good deal to stay, 6 years and $156 million. It may not be exactly what he wanted, but if you talk about settling for deals that maybe weren't what they wanted, Pete Alonso had the common sense to realize, hey, this is going to be the best I'll get, and I really want to stay with the Mets, so I'm going to bet on myself on a two-year deal. And if you look at Alex Bregman, man, listen, he's a really good player. He's a really good player. But there's some alarm bells with him that to your point, my friend, where, you know, it's not like people are going to say, okay, well, let's offer him a lot more to get him here. You know, he's going to be 31 soon. Not that that's ancient. That's not the point I'm making. But if you look at some things, you know, for example, his walk rate collapsed last season. And, you know, that's always kind of a sign you pay attention to with hitters that are turning a little older. And, you know, there's some things about in his offensive profile, still really good, don't get me wrong. But, you know, maybe there are some minor indicators of a decline that's coming. And I think teams probably, well, I know they got to be reluctant to give him 5 or 6 years because he's going to be 31 in a matter of, on March the 30th. So nobody wants to tie up and get into a long-term contract for a player who may halfway through it may start to really decline as a player.
We always pay attention to what John Heyman says when it comes to Boris agents because we know how connected he is to him. Heyman keeps saying it's going to be the Cubs or it's most likely to be the Cubs. What does that do for this division? Does that, if he ends up as a Chicago Cub, Bernie, does that make them the easy favorite in the division?
Yeah, I think they already are, even without him. I think they've done some quietly good work with their bullpen. You know, Kyle Tucker's a heck of a player. And they've added some depth. I think they're already the team to beat. And I know Milwaukee, we've all made the mistake of counting them out or overlooking them. But the Brewers have had an awfully quiet offseason as far as adding to what they had. And they've lost a couple of good players. I think clearly this is the Cubs division to lose. And if they get Bregman, even more so. And I think the second season of Craig Counsell will be a big difference. He's made some coaching staff changes. He's more comfortable and aware and confident in what he has there and knowing how to kind of navigate the whole Cubs experience. So if Tom Ricketts, who's – listen, that team's incredibly wealthy. If he ponies up a lot of money on a short-term deal with Bregman, like he did kind of with Bellinger and some others in the past where maybe you give him $30 million a year this year and next year, I don't see why Bregman wouldn't take that.
Yeah, it's you said something there that was interesting that I don't know if everybody's aware of. So the Brewers had locked all of Council's coaches into a two-year deal going into this past season. I think they knew there was a chance Council was going to walk away, and they didn't want him taking all the coaches with him. So all those guys were locked into another year, and they couldn't leave. And then he goes into Chicago. He essentially just keeps Ross's coaching staff and doesn't make any changes. If you're a manager, you want your guys in the room with you. And to your point, he has been able to bring in some of his coaches, and I think that does play out in a positive way.
And no doubt about it, because they all know each other very well, and there's a comfort and a confidence and a familiarity them working with each other because they're obviously very good. I'm not going to use the cliche that Craig Counsell was like a duck out of water last year, but I think the move was more difficult than he would have envisioned. You know, so. I think it was not a totally comfortable fit last season. It'll be a very comfortable fit this season.
We're talking with Bernie Miklas here on a Sports Open Line, talking mostly Cardinals baseball here. I was happy to hear Oliver Marmol spend as much time as he did today talking about Ivan Herrera and his offensive potential and how they're so excited to see the work that he did in the offseason defensively and how that could play out. Bernie, I know we're like-minded on the belief that Herrera, with that bat, needs to be in the lineup more often than not, despite so many people thinking that Páez is going to be the guy. And if gun to my head, I'm probably thinking that Páez is going to get more of an opportunity. But the first comments made today by Ollie talking so highly of Herrera's bat made me feel good about that possibility.
And Herrera worked really, really, really hard. He continues to work hard at improving his throwing mechanics so he can get rid of the ball faster and also get more zip on it. And that's the type of thing that should be rewarded as well, because you want a player, if he's got flaws, you want that player to be utterly hungry and determined to correct those flaws. So he has shown a great attitude. And he was the best. He was one of the best hitters, age 24 or less, in baseball last season. And they need his bat in lineup. So I would hope that, you know, we'll look up. You and I will be talking on a Sports Open line or a Gas House Gang in August or so, and we'll see Ivan Herrera with 400 plus at bats and growing. You know, so because I think he's got a chance to be a really special player offensively. And you can live with average defense behind the plate if that's the case.
The other major storyline today that I found to be interesting, I think Benjamin Hockman was writing a column about this, which is why it got focused in on so much. But there's a lot of people asking about Michael McGreevy and if those top five starters in Gray, Fetty, Pallante, Michaelis, and Matz, if those five guys are all effective in spring and all come out healthy, and those are big ifs, and McGreevy is the same way, how do they find McGreevy in there? Is it a six-man rotation? Is it Matz to the bullpen? But it seems like something that we've talked about on the Gas House Gang a lot, that's a narrative that seems to be growing to other media sources as well.
And I noticed, you know, Ale Marmol was asked about a six-man rotation would actually make a lot of sense for the Cardinals. And that's a way to get some of your young guys in the mix. And I'm not going to say where they would take the ball every fifth day, but they would at least be part of the mix and getting some experience. And meanwhile, it might help some of your other pitchers lessen the risk of injuries. I think some more progressive organizations are thinking that the six-man rotation is one way to solve some issues. I think the Cardinals have a situation where it would make sense to at least try that. I didn't get the sense that they're real fired up about that. I'm going to stick to this prediction, and the prediction will change, obviously, if someone is injured or someone is just awful. I'm talking about starting pitchers. McGreevy will open the season in the bullpen. I hope I'm wrong about that. I just don't think that things are aligning in a way where they're going to say, oh, we have to put him in the rotation. And that really bothers me because first of all, they invested a first-round draft pick in him, and they were patient with him as he migrated his way through the minors, and he wasn't always all that hot for a guy drafted in the first round. But he made some changes. He worked on his pitching. He sharpened his craft. He came up with a better shape on, you know, some of his out pitches. And all of a sudden, they saw exactly what they had in him last year. And he was outstanding at Memphis, especially the second half of the season. So what more does a guy have to do to earn a chance to be in the starting rotation? What more do you want from a guy who's you drafted first and who you gave the ball to last season? And every single time he had the ball, he impressed you, and all you did was rave about him. So what does he have to do to get a rotation spot?
Yeah, Bernie, I hope you're wrong, and I think you hope you're wrong too, because
sure, I do.
We've seen the Cardinals do the thing before where they yo-yo a guy between the rotation and the bullpen and do wacky things like maybe a guy's going to be available to pitch out of the bullpen on his side day and stuff. All you do is screw a guy up when you do that. If he's not going to be in the big league rotation, get him back to Memphis and let him start every fifth day. I want no business of him being in the bullpen.
I'm 100% with you, but I know the Cardinals, and I know they say one thing, and I know what their history tells us. They screwed up Zach Thompson that way. They screwed up Libitor, or at least they stunted his progress that way. And I would hate to think that they'll do it to McGreevy, because I think Libitor, if they commit to him as a reliever, I think he has a chance to be a lights-out reliever. But they've never given him like a set thing where it's like, all right, you're in the bullpen no matter what. Don't worry about us moving you all around, no matter what. I'm just concerned because I've seen the repercussions of when they've done this, when they've had a talented guy and they move him back and forth, bullpen rotation, Memphis, St. Louis. And I hope that they don't do the same thing with McGreevy. I really do. I think it'll set off all kinds of alarms. And it's going to be really interesting to see whether they've learned from their mistakes or not. I think that's a big, frankly, I like Ollie, but I think that's one of the things he's going to have to prove in 2025, which he has learned, that he indeed has learned from some of the things perhaps he could have done better in the past.
Well, and not to, I'm keeping you a little long here, and I'm sorry, but
that's all right,
when he talked about when he talked about Liberatore today, even though he's being stretched out as a starter here at the beginning, it was clear with he basically said he only ends up as a starter if it hits the fan. They are getting Libby ready to be a bullpen guy and a bullpen guy only. So hopefully that's a sign of other things to come. But I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, I think Libby will really take off as a reliever as long as they leave him alone down there. Because I think he's a guy who can out games for you, you know, in the situation where if a Ryan Helsley moves on or he's traded or whatever. I think Liberatore's got some closer stuff. So just let him grow into that role.
Bernie, we always encourage people to go to your YouTube channel, at The Bernie Show. You do 1 to 2 videos every single day, going deep on a lot of topics, and you've got great content now with spring training getting underway. So folks should check that every day. And of course, our conversations being brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Yeah, and I'm always proud to talk about Saliga Heating and Cooling on the Gas House Gang and here on Sports Open Line, because they've been great to us. We've been with Saliga for 16 years. This is a family-owned business, 4 generations of Saligas. They've been taking care of generations of St. Louis family since 1927, and they are an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. And in our experience, 100% trustworthiness. I mean, the integrity is impeccable. They don't upsell you. They don't try to hustle. They don't try to talk you into stuff you don't need. In our experience, and I know in the experience of a lot of St. Louis families, Saliga Heating and Cooling will actually solve your problem, but they'll suggest a cheaper way, at least less expensive way, to get it done. And when you have someone you're doing business with like that, man, you savor the fact that you have a relationship with them, and when you call them, you're going to have a great outcome, and they're not going to play any games. And they also have that American Standard equipment, which is the industry standard. One other thing is financing options are available. And I also want you to check out the Priority Club. It's a maintenance program that's really, really, really good. We've been in it for several years, and it has saved us money and given us peace of mind. But for more deals on that and everything else, plus the phone number, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are in Jupiter, Florida, Cardinals spring training today. A big day. It was the first official workout with pitchers and catchers. Full squad reporting on Sunday. First full squad workout coming up on Monday. But many position players are already here. Heard some rumblings. I'm not reporting this. I just heard some rumblings from people talking that if an Arenado deal does not get done, we would probably see him earlier than Sunday on the report day, but there's no guarantee of that. And again, that's just kind of listening into what some people are saying. So we'll see. Either way, I know the expectation is, and John Mozeliak talked about this today, the expectation is that if Nolan Arenado is still a Cardinal, when it's time for him to report, he indeed is going to report. Mo made the comment that baseball is a sport that doesn't have holdouts. It's not like football. It's not like other sports where players hold out. You don't hold out in baseball, so you show up, and that will be the expectation if a deal to move him is not done. And again, that's not in all likelihood happening until an Alex Bregman deal is done, or if there is a team out there that knows for 100% sure that they are not going to be in the Bregman sweepstakes, so they're able to move on to their secondary plans. A little bit of news today off the field. According to a report from Mark Feinsand from MLB.com, the Cardinals got two results of their salary arbitration cases. Lars Nootbaar reportedly won his arbitration case. He had filed for $2.95 million. The Cardinals had filed at $2.45 million. So it looks like he is going to make just under $3 million this season. A lot of players not that many players win their arbitration hearings. So Nootbaar wins his. Unfortunately for Brendan Donovan, he does not win his, as he lost to the Cardinals. He had filed for $3.3 million. Instead, he is going to make $2.85 million. That's going to be what he's going to make this upcoming season. And it always looks a little bit silly when you're talking about $500,000 difference in these, and that's the case, you know, with Andre Pallante, and we still don't have a result on that quite yet. It's even less money than that. I don't like the arbitration system. I don't like the fact that you as a player have to go into a room and listen to your bosses who like to tell you how much they value you. Well, in that situation, they tell you basically how bad you are. And it's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to go through. And I just wish that it was a system that didn't exist. That being said, it can be collectively bargained out. if they want to change the system, if players were to make that something that they were concerned about and they were to make that a priority and they wanted to change the arbitration system, if they wanted to change it where you just submit information and you don't actually go into it, like what, there's a million things they could do to change it. If they wanted to change it, they could bring it up during collective bargaining, and it has not changed. So it seems to be something that everybody is comfortable with, despite the discomfort of the actual situation as it ends up taking place. Mentioned to you that a number of pitchers were able to get onto the bullpen mounds today and throw some light bullpen sessions. They didn't throw a lot of pitches as you would expect, but guys will get a bullpen session in or two, and then some live hitting is going to take place coming up later on this weekend. And then you'll have Grapefruit League games coming up next weekend. Next Saturday is the first Grapefruit League game. We'll have it for you here on KMOX, and we are certainly looking forward to that. But things move really quickly when you think about getting into camp and getting pitchers and catchers going through workouts, and very quickly you move as a pitcher. You quickly move from throwing bullpens to throwing live BPs to simulate games and things like that. From a position player standpoint, there's less than a week between when you show up and when you play your first Grapefruit League game. Things do move really, really quick here at the early portion of spring training. I mentioned this with Bernie a few moments ago, but I want to talk about it a little bit more because I do think it is it's a notable thing that we heard today from Oliver Marmol, where he spoke a lot about Ivan Herrera and the work that he did this offseason, what that could mean for the Cardinals catching position. We'll talk about that next right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. In hour number two, we're going to have a lot of fun with audio. We're going to pretty much on an everyday basis while we're down here in Jupiter, we are going to play for you audio from folks like Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak. Marmol specifically meets with the media on just about an everyday basis. So what we will do is we'll collect that audio and we'll cut it all up and we'll kind of go through what he has to say and give our take and do all of that and give provide some context to what's going on as we take you through all the various narratives that are going on at spring training 2025 here in Jupiter. It was good to get baseball things happening earlier today, and they will continue on. First full squad workout is scheduled for Monday. One non-Cardinals thing, which I had to laugh, and I'm not trying to laugh at somebody's misfortune. That's not really my thing, but Angels third baseman Anthony Rendon is having hip surgery and is expected to miss a significant amount of time. Whether that's going to be the whole season or most of the season, like, it was not really given. This is, if you haven't followed along with Rendon and his lack of ability to stay on the field since joining the Angels, it is ridiculous. If you remember, when he got his contract with the Angels, he was coming off a year with the Nationals where he was fantastic. Had an OPS over 1,000, 34 home runs, a major league leading 126 RBIs. So he got this 7-year, $245 million contract from the Angels. And since then, he has not played in more than 58 games in any season. So there's always been at least 100 games that he did not play in. He has played in a total of 257 games. He's missed 451 games, and he has had 12 stints on the injured list since 2021. He had three stints alone last year, dealing with a hamstring, a lower back, and an oblique issue. And when he was on the field, he was terrible. He hit .218. He did not have a single home run, and in 206 at-bats, he only had 14 RBIs. Here's the crazy thing. In his entire time with the Angels, so again, you go back to that year he had with the Nationals that got him the contract. That year, that one single year with the Nationals, this guy hits 34 home runs and has 126 RBIs. Since joining the Angels, he has 22 home runs and 125 RBIs. So essentially, he has not matched in his entire tenure with the Angels what he did in one season with the he has not been able to match his final season with the Washington Nationals. Seemed like the Angels were moving on from him anyways. They signed Makanda to come in to be the everyday third baseman. He signed a $5 million deal, and he's going to be the guy. So you couldn't make this up, and you feel bad for Rendon with all the injuries, but this is a guy who he is getting paid a lot of money to not be on the field. All right, that's it for hour number one of the show. When we come back for hour number two, I've got a couple things to get into. First off, I want to talk about the situation with Cardinals catching. Oliver Marmol talked about that a little bit today, and then we'll jump into the audio with Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak. That's all coming up. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Welcome back in as we get into hour number two of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, continuing to come your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. Things really ramping up today with the first official workout for pitchers and catchers. We saw a number of pitchers get out onto the mound and throw some bullpen sessions. There continued to be some work going on throughout the backfield. So it just, the sounds of baseball, whether it's the ball, pitch into a catcher's mitt, whether it's the cleats walking on the sidewalk, whatever it might be. Love those sounds of baseball that you always get whenever baseball is being played, but they strike a little bit differently right at the beginning of spring training. A reminder for you, we've got the countdown to opening day show. That's going to be coming your way tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Mike Claiborne and myself will be coming your way. We've got a lot that's going to be on the show, including a conversation with JJ Weatherholt. I got the chance to talk with him earlier today, and we are going to play that conversation coming up tomorrow. So most of this hour, the next three segments before we wrap things up, most of this hour is going to be spent listening back to what was said today by John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol. Each had their first formal media sessions of spring training, and they got into a ton of different topics. A lot on Nolan Arenado, who, you know, we've talked about that already on this show today. A lot about what the expectations are for the club, even in a reset year. Talk about how the starting rotation is going to work, if there's really going to be an opportunity for young guys to get into the starting rotation. Marmol did spend some time talking about the catching situation. And to me, it has felt like the general thought process has been that the Cardinals are likely to give more of an opportunity to Pedro Páez than Ivan Herrera this year behind the plate. And before I go any further, let me say I'm a big fan of Pedro Páez. He has been what he does behind the plate defensively is just fantastic, especially for a guy his age. And from an offensive standpoint, I think he looked all right. All that being said, we are coming off a season for the Cardinals where they just couldn't score many runs. And the goal, if they want to take a step forward, if they want to be better than people expect them to be, the goal has got to be to score more runs. And having Ivan Herrera in the lineup a lot is going to help this team score runs. So Ali was asked about that, and you'll hear his answer coming up in our next segment, so listen for that. But I'll preview it a little bit. He spends quite some time talking about Herrera and his offensive potential and the type of impact bat that he can be in the lineup. And then he also talked about Páez for a little bit, but more time about Herrera, and also spent some time discussing what Herrera did in the offseason to try to improve himself from a defensive standpoint, especially from a controlling the run game standpoint, because Herrera, bluntly and honestly, just wasn't very good at holding runners on. That was a problem for Ivan Herrera, and it's an area that he absolutely has to find a way to get better at. But, and I don't know what's going to play out, and, you know, Páez probably is still going to be the guy, and there's nothing wrong with Pedro Páez, but I'm a very strong believer that for this team to be better than a lot of people expect them to be, it is going to take a lot of players stepping forward from an offensive standpoint. And I think you're going to get that from Wilson Contreras, just in the sense that he's going to be in the lineup more often if we can assume his health. I know you can't ever assume that, but him going from being a catcher to being a first baseman, that should help keep him healthier. If Gorman and Walker take steps forward, and those are the biggest ifs for this team, if Lars Nootbaar stays healthy, and if you can get Ivan Herrera into the lineup a lot, those are all pieces that go along with this team being better offensively than they were last year. And don't forget, this is a club that did not miss the playoffs by that much. They were in playoff position for some of the year last year, and they finished just a few games out of a playoff spot. So I understand what the expectations are, and like I've said many times, the ceiling for this team and the floor for this team are incredibly wide. Things could go off the rails very quickly, and this could turn into an unfortunate season for the team, or things could go better than anybody expected, and the pathway to that happening is more run scoring combined with getting about what you got out of the starting rotation last year and getting some version of what you got from the bullpen. I think it's going to be hard to completely replicate the bullpen success last year. The Cardinals were so good in those one-run games. Not only did you lose Andrew Kittredge, but you would think that, you know, for like a Ryan Helsley, who is incredible, is there a little bit of regression coming his way just because it's so hard to do what he did last year? There was a little bit of kind of luck involved in that, and that's not that's not me taking a shot at him. That's just the way baseball is played. So you would think that the bullpen might take a step back, but if they can score a lot of runs, this team could be pretty good, and Ivan Herrera being in the lineup more often than not, I think that goes a long way. So I was mildly pleased with what I heard today from Oliver Marmol, where he spent as much time as he did talking about Ivan Herrera and what that might mean for the team moving forward. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to start going through audio. We will start with who we've just been talking about, Oliver Marmol, his thoughts on a good wide range of things. We'll hear that coming up in just a moment. From Jupiter, Florida, it's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, continuing to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. Today was the day where pitchers and catchers had their first official workout. A number of pitchers through bullpen sessions, and that's going to continue on. Live sessions will be coming up here in just a few days, so things have picked up in a very, very big way. From here until the end of the show, we're going to play a lot of audio for you as both President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak and Manager Oliver Marmol did their introductory media sessions here at the beginning of spring training. I want to start with some of what Oliver Marmol had to say. Of course, the biggest storyline right now for this team is whether or not Nolan Arenado is actually going to be on the team, as he has not yet been traded, despite the fact that John Mozeliak has said that they have every intention to trade him if they're able to do so. From Marmol's standpoint, he says he's going through this planning for Arenado to be on the team.
To be quite honest, you operate as if he's coming to camp, and my conversations with him up to this point have been exactly that. Until that changes, there's no reason to plan otherwise. So as we stand here today, we have pitchers and catchers here, so we're focused on that. And then once we get to position players and have a full camp here, then we'll address it.
As you look at this group overall, in a kind of a weird transition type year, the Arenado situation is hanging over everybody's heads. Young players are going to get more of a runway. All these things are happening. There's a transition with being Mozeliak's final season, and Chaim Bloom's going to take over next year. But in terms of what's going on inside the clubhouse, you can only control what you can control. And Marmol specifically mentioned the fact that he likes the unity that exists on the team already.
You do have a lot of familiar faces coming through, and guys that we've already spent time with and know well, and they know us well. So more than anything, and what I really see them doing a good job of is coming together as a group, and that started this offseason. And when you think about building something that lasts, you have to do that as a team, as a unit. And that's coming together really nicely.
A lot of talk about the reset that this team is going through. And Marmol was asked if that's tough for him as a manager, but basically said that it's not, that it's actually been a good thing. He's all in on what the organization is doing, largely because of the communication that's gone along with it.
No, what's difficult for a manager is when there's not clarity or direction, which is far from what has taken place. I think the organization was very clear on what was going to take place and how we were going to go about doing it. So from being in limbo or up in the air difficulty, there's zero of that, to be quite honest. There's extreme clarity to what this offseason was going to look like. And we've operated under that the entire time as far as how we're prepping for the guys that are in that building at the moment.
So this offseason has featured the team hiring a lot of instructors. A lot more has been given to player development. There's more folks on the big league staff as well. And Marmol said that the offseason changes that have already happened and much more are going to be coming. Again, when spring training wraps up, they're going to start the redo of the spring training complex. So we won't see all the fruits of the labor here for a couple of years on some things, but Marmol did say that the offseason changes are already having an impact.
It's been phenomenal. I mean, when I say phenomenal, it's been really, really good. The meeting we had yesterday with those guys was phenomenal. We had another one this morning. And Derek asked a question a couple of days ago in conversation about kind of this camp and what to expect. I think a lot of it, to be quite honest, is like more manpower. We have more staff. And when you have more staff, you can kind of divide up camp a little bit differently and still have the attention to detail in each area and making sure that things aren't kind of getting skipped over. So just the manpower by itself has been helpful. And it's not just extra bodies, it's real skill sets that we've brought to the table. So on the field, it'll show. And then post every practice, being able to break everything down and some of the different viewpoints that are being brought to the table have been, up to this point, phenomenal.
And he went on a little bit more talking about the impact that he personally can have as a result of the expanded staff.
More so just bandwidth, right? It allows certain coaches to have more. It's always nice when you can plan your day and have pockets where you have nothing,
sure.
Right? Because then those are the opportunities where you can go, I have this window where I have nothing, and I see an opportunity to talk to a player. Maybe it's baseball related, maybe it's not baseball related, right? But you have this bandwidth where you can actually connect and be more relational because you have more manpower to do some of these other things that if you don't have it, your face is in front of a computer and you're doing a lot of things that are important, but you miss those opportunities to be more relational with the players. So it's nice to have that at the moment. It really is.
All right, let's jump into some notes about pitching. There's a lot of talk about Michael McGreevy. Is he going to have an opportunity to be in the rotation where you basically already have five veteran guys who are set with Gray, Fetty, Pallante, Michaelis, and Matz? Marmol says that McGreevy comes into camp in a really good spot.
He showed well, exactly as advertised. Did a really nice job of pounding the strike zone and living on the ground. He looks good. I don't know if you guys have seen him, but I mean, put on some weight. Looks really, really good. Had a really good offseason. So I'm excited to see what's coming out of that arm.
And while we mentioned those five existing veteran starters, Marmol reminded folks that things can certainly change.
We do have some guys that are returning that aren't young and are in those spots, and they'll remain in those spots for the time being. So camp will dictate kind of the direction we go there as far as just health. I mean, today's day one. And if we come out of this clean, hopefully we do. That's amazing. But if not, there's some names we could call on that we feel comfortable with.
And even if those five veteran starters do continue to pitch and pitch well and they all stay healthy, Marmol would not to say that the team would not go to a six-man rotation, that at the very least it is a possibility.
I don't want to rule anything out. I'd like to see how we get halfway through this camp and how guys are feeling and kind of the when you start really nailing down the roster the closer you get, but we'll wait and see.
From an individual standpoint, Marmol talked a little about Steven Matz and said that he comes into camp fully healthy.
No different than any other guy at the moment. His shoulder and everything feels as good as it's ever felt. So we're in a really good spot there. Obviously, he had a little bit of the ankle deal, but outside of that, he's in a really good spot.
And then another pitcher that you're going to see starting games in the spring, but he's probably earmarked for the bullpen, is Matthew Liberatore. While they will stretch him out here at the beginning of camp, Marmol really believes he can be an impactful reliever.
So the way we'll treat Libby, as we have in the past, is he'll come in and stretch out early. It's way easier for him to transition into 1 to 2 inning stints than having to ramp up in case it hits the fan and we need an extra starter, right? But can he handle that? Absolutely. I mean, he showed some real courage late in games. I mean, his ability to come in, guys on base, leverage, didn't matter. I mean, the more leverage, the better he got. So, I mean, I'd love to see him in that type of role, absolutely, if that's where this leads.
Part of the runway and part of the opportunities for younger players is very much connected to the bullpen, and Marmol believes that some of the young bullpen arms can really step into bigger roles.
Opportunity, more than anything, because when you look at that group of guys that are returning, but guys that showed well and had flashes of what they're capable of doing in O'Reilly and Roy Croft, and you add certain guys like Persefo. Like there's a group of guys there that you want a couple of them to surprise you and run away with the job. But there'll be some good competition in that pen. Obviously, we don't have Kittredge here, who logged in a decent amount of innings for us and did a phenomenal job of handing it over to Helsley. So we'll need a couple of guys to step up. But you have Fernandez, some really capable faces, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
But of course, on the backside of the bullpen is their closer and Ryan Helsley. There was some talk about him being traded this offseason. That did not happen, and Marmol says that having Helsley is a great luxury.
It shortens the game, for sure. Talking about one of the best arms in the game right now, and to be able to rely on that in the ninth, you're trying to figure out ways to get there. But yeah, I love the ability to being able to call on him to get the last three outs of a game.
Another key player for the team this year is Jordan Walker, and Marmol went through some of the keys that are going to be big for Walker to have a successful season.
Relax and be himself, but at the same time, there's, when I say urgency, just in taking steps in the right direction. And man, he's done a nice job of that. He's doing a much better job of also just communicating in general how he's feeling, what he's feeling. Which helps our coaching staff, Brandt and those guys, kind of move it along a little quicker. So a lot of credit to Jordan, because him being able to communicate, that is key.
And it's clear that Marmol still very much believes in Walker's potential and the talent that he brings.
Gosh, I mean, this is a real player, man. He looks big. He looks strong. and the power's there.
In addition to trying to get things together from a hitting standpoint, Walker also trying to improve his defense in the outfield. He's been working a lot with John Jay, as have many of the outfielders, and Marmol feels like Jay's instruction out there is going to have a large impact on every outfielder on the team.
Sat there and watched John Jay do his work this morning. I'm stoked, man. I mean, just the intentionality and just intent behind that work. It's day one of them being out there, but it's hard not to get excited about the progress that'll be made there. Even guys that are shown to be really good, like the Siannis and Vicks of the world, man. Like, I think John's going to bring something special to that group, and we saw part of that today.
And then last thing from Marmol, thought this was interesting. He talked a little bit about the catching competition as Ivan Herrera and Pedro Páez, they're going to be the guys, but what's not set yet is who's going to get the vast majority of playing time, if either one is, and how that's going to look as camp continues.
As we get further into camp, we'll provide more clarity to that. Obviously, Herrera is someone that he can hit, man, and he did a really nice job behind the plate. Obviously, we want to address the running game part of it, which he took to heart, spent a decent amount repatterning kind of how he throws in order to kind of be more effective there. So he spent the entire offseason fixing that, and we're waiting to see what that looks like. But it's a real hitter that could do a nice job behind the plate, and Páez, he showed the ability to game plan with the best of them. I mean, this is a guy that did a really nice job for us and gained the trust of that staff. So, yeah, there's competition there, but those are the two guys we're going to roll with.
That's a lot from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. We will take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. That's up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida on KMOX. We're back at it from Jupiter, Florida. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Cardinals Spring Training. Doing our fun with audio. You're going to hear a lot of audio as long as we are continuing to do the show from down here. Heard from Oliver Marmol just a few moments ago. Now let's hear from John Mozeliak. He had his Spring Training introductory press conference today. We're going to do this over a couple segments. Want to go through all the Arenado stuff first, and then we'll cycle past Arenado, just in case you are getting a little bit of Arenado fatigue. There are other things to talk about, but let's start with this offseason and how quiet it's been. Again, that's been very much connected to the Arenado situation, but Mo definitely said that it has been a frustratingly quiet offseason.
You know, it's sort of interesting as you think about it's my 18th camp and addressing media, and typically it's you spend a lot of time like rehashing all the accomplishments of the offseason, so this will be brief. Needless to say, it's been frustrating because we are trying to do some different things as we transition into a new leadership group and really a new direction with the franchise moving forward in 2026. So as I've tried to remind myself all offseason, that this offseason just continues to keep going. It's perpetual. But reality is, with pitchers and catchers reporting yesterday, going through their physicals today, and they'll be on the field here probably in the next hour, you know, the spring training's starting. And that means we are right around the corner from our season. And so decisions have to be made. And as we start to think about our roster, what we want to look like.
And even though it hasn't happened yet, Mo said that moving Arenado does remain a priority for the club.
As we start to think about our roster, what we want to look like, there are some things we still would like to tweak and try to do. Obviously, the pink elephant in the room is, what are we going to do with Nolan Arenado? You think back to when we first met on this in October, to GM meetings, etc. And, candidly, we're still looking at what that might look like. And, could something happen in the next week? Possibly. Could this go in the camp? Possibly. So I really don't have like a definitive answer for everybody that's curious on what will be the answer. So patience is required.
I don't think many of us thought that this would still be going on in spring training, especially based off some of the things that Mo said to us all the way back at the winter meetings and just the continued messaging since then. And Mo admitted that the Arenado process has not gone the way he expected it to go.
If you think back to when we first started discussing the possibility of trading him, we thought all along that we could probably do something this offseason, but it just hasn't happened. I think, you can determine on your own why that might not be happening. Could be the free agent market, could be who's available on the free agent market. I imagine there's a direct correlation there. But, you know, ultimately, I did not have a large list of teams, so it wasn't like 29 I could take them to. So I'm just trying to navigate what I could work with, and obviously it hasn't moved at the pace many of us had hoped for.
So that presents the question. Is this thing going to get done? Is Arenado going to get moved? I feel like, yes, he will. But from Mo's standpoint, he says he doesn't have much of a feeling on if the deal does end up getting done.
I really don't know. I mean, I've always been an optimist on trying to get deals done. So I am hopeful, but we'll see.
So what happens if Arenado doesn't get moved? Mo said that the team can still move forward with him on the roster.
I think so. I mean, we're adults. Would it be awkward? I imagine there might be a moment of awkwardness, but I still think that, you know, he's a professional baseball player. He's currently a St. Louis Cardinal. And, you know, we all understand that once you're here, it's pushing for that. And would that mean then, you know, trying to accomplish something maybe during spring training? Possibly. But there's no guarantees at that point.
There is, however, a cost to Arenado being on the roster. They want to use this year as a year to give young players more of an opportunity, find out what they have with some guys. And Mo did admit there's going to be less opportunities for young guys if Arenado does remain on the roster.
Yeah, I think the difference is how you define the word opportunity, right? If you're somebody like a Nolan Gorman, where's your at-bats come from now? So I definitely think there's a direct correlation there. So as we talk about this transition, as we talk about opportunity as one of those themes, it would be a limiting factor to some individuals.
So what does the timeline look like? Does a deal have to be done before position players report? Does it have to be done before you break camp? Is it just something that maybe you look to the trade deadline to try again? And Mo said there's really not much of a timeline at this point on when an Arenado deal has to be done.
There is no deadline, right?
Yeah.
In this particular case, and we can, you know, create our own if
like
we want. But right. But I do feel like as teams are beginning to report, it definitely feels like there's more urgency to see if there could be some way to bring this to conclusion.
And the last thing kind of Arenado related from Mo, and this will kind of help us transition into our next segment, because it sounds like there still is the possibility of them tweaking the roster. There had been some thought that they weren't going to be able to add as long as Arenado remains on the roster, but Mo said that they can still add if an opportunity presents itself, whether Arenado is moved or not.
Overall, we like what we've been able to bring into camp right now. Does that mean there's not some activity we might still try to do? The answer is no. We still might be open to that. But I would say it's not in the part where we're just handcuffed at this point.
All right, so that's just a little bit there from John Mozeliak, all Nolan Arenado related. He talked about many other things as well, and we'll get into those coming up in just a moment on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We're back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, continuing to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training. Today was a big day as pitchers and catchers got out onto the backfields and worked out officially for the first time. A number of pitchers through their initial bullpen sessions. More pitchers will be doing the same thing coming up tomorrow. Also a reminder, tomorrow night it is the countdown to opening day show. Myself and Mike Claiborne will be coming your way from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Let's continue on listening in to what John Mozeliak had to say today, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. In our last segment, we did all the Nolan Arenado stuff. Now we're going to move forward to the other things that Mo talked about. And he had a lot to say, kind of talk about the current state of the team. He said that even in this reset that they're in right now, they continue to feel very good about the club.
This transition is going to be about a youth movement. It is going to be about giving players opportunities. We are excited about the guys we have in this camp. I mean, obviously next week when position players report, it's going to have a little different feel to it. But nonetheless, the Cardinals are excited about directionally where we're going. But we certainly understand that there could be some things that happen between now and the time we get to St. Louis.
Mo would go on to say that there is a belief that this team can win.
We'll see how we play. You know, our goal is to win this year. Our goal last year was to win. You know, we fell a few games short of getting to the postseason. But our hope is that if all things go right, we feel like we have a veteran pitching staff. We feel like we have some emerging arms. And we feel like we have a really talented young core. So, you know, it's not a bad bet to make on a young.
This offseason obviously featured payroll reduction, letting Paul Goldschmidt leave as a free agent, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn not picking up their options, the likely eventual trading away of Nolan Arenado. And Mo talked a little bit about that balance between payroll reduction and also being able to continue to field a competitive team.
Not necessarily in the sense of change. It was really about understanding how I could meet, you know, payroll goals, but then also trying to thread a needle to remain competitive. And, you know, had those guys asked to be moved or considered to be moved, it would have, you know, definitely changed our offseason strategy. But, you know, they didn't, and I'm glad they didn't. And I still think this team can be fun to watch.
And even though the team might be going through a reset, that does not change the motivation to win.
Well, I think maybe the language has changed. My hope and wishes haven't. Like, I still, if you walk in that door right now, that group wants to win baseball games. That group believes in themselves, and that's important. You know, it's not always what you spend. It's not always what you sign. It's not always what you trade for. Sometimes it's about what you have and what do you do with it.
And as Mo surveyed the group of players that have already arrived to Jupiter, he really does feel like that this group is ready to go.
I would just say, you know, my initial blush at looking at this group is they all came in prepared. And from brief conversation, as I was walking out here with the medical staff, everybody looks healthy. And so from a standpoint of where they look like they're ready to go, that's good. I haven't really been down here long enough to say, like, you know, which one has, you know, changed their profile or added 3 miles an hour or something like that.
A few other topics to get to with Mo Zalak before we call tonight here on the program. You know, probably the biggest storyline for the team this year, especially connected to this team playing better than a lot of people expect them to play, is whether or not Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker can take steps forward offensively, whether they can be middle-of-the-order run-producing bats. Mo talked a little bit about that expectation about some of these young hitters being able to take a step forward this year.
Twofold. One is, obviously, we changed leadership in the coaching side, so hopefully a different voice can help generate that a positive outcome there. And then the other part is, when you look at some of these younger players that we're talking about taking that step forward, what do they do? Is this a sophomore thing, a junior thing? You know, where are they in terms of graduating to be a regular major league player? Time will tell.
Specifically to the two players that we mentioned, Gorman and Walker, Mo talked about each of them, saying that Gorman still has the potential to be an extra base hit machine.
When I look at him, and obviously I'm not the hitting coach or the coach in general, but you know, I feel like he has the ability to be the guy that can really drive the ball to left center. And I feel like when he's taking advantage of that, that's when doubles and home runs happen. And so, yeah, I think we all understand the trade-off of the strikeouts, but you still have to balance that with the production. And so, you know, when you think about somebody that's like capable of being a 25 or 30-plus home run guy, knowing that you might get 30 strikeouts, I still feel like his value comes from not just the 30 home runs, but like what types of doubles and that kind of production. So ball and play for him, I think, does matter a little bit.
And there also remains a lot of hope for Jordan Walker, who is still very young.
I think you got to remind yourself he's 22. So patience is real here. But obviously, you know, last year did not go the way he had hoped for him or us. So adjustments have to be made. But in terms of like trying to, you know, write the first chapter and the last chapter based on 6 weeks, probably not the best strategy.
Let's talk a little pitching real quick. First off, from a starting rotation standpoint, the team is in a spot where five spots are held by veterans in Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante. I guess Pallante is not a veteran, but he's a guy who was in the rotation previously, in addition to Miles Michaelis and also Steven Matz. There's young starters around. Michael McGreevy did a really nice job last year. Quinn Matthews on the way. Matthew Liberatore is going to be stretched out like a starter, even though he is likely earmarked for the bullpen. So
when you've got these five guys that are set to be in the rotation, how do you create these opportunities both now and in the future for young starters to get that chance in the rotation?
McGreevy obviously showed he's capable of pitching in the big leagues last year. And, you know, I think that's great depth, but it's also knows he's going to have a great career, hopefully, at the big leagues. And then you mentioned somebody like Matthews. Now, you know, he had a brief stint at AAA. I would imagine that's where he's going to start and see what he develops like. But the whole point is, as we begin this transition, which we have begun, but the idea is to, like, how do we set ourselves up for 26, 27, and beyond?
From a bullpen standpoint, very, very young bullpen, especially outside of Ryan Helsley and JoJo Romero. And there was some talk about bringing in some more veteran pieces for the bullpen. And Mo talked a little bit about that internal debate between having a very young bullpen where you're able to kind of mix and match and you're probably bringing guys up and sending them down and doing a lot versus bringing in a more seasoned guy who can be kind of a leader down in the pen.
Well, I do think that allows us some flexibility. I do feel like when I look at the last, you know, 30 some years with the Cardinals, there always was that sort of veteran voice in the bullpen that tended to help manage what was going on down there. So I do think there's some value in that, but I definitely think there's some exciting arms. And in terms of, like, you know, do we have like the horsepower and the arms to get people out? I think the answer is yes. But as you know, over the 162, it's nice to have someone down there that can help kind of manage it. And you don't want to always put that like on your closer, because that's such a different role.
Sure.
So that is something that we are kind of...
Of course, that back end of the bullpen is led by closer Ryan Helsley. Helsley himself has said that he kind of expected to be traded this offseason. And on this show and in print and everywhere, we all talked about the idea of possibly trading Helsley. Well, Mova made it very clear there was never any intention to trade their closer.
You guys write a lot of things that I never say, right? Or you hear rumors that might be said. And, like, for players to digest that or what they want to do with it, I can't control that. I told him and his representative early on that he was not going to be traded. I never speak in absolutes because you never know, but I gave him that was not my goal to move him. And so, you know, how he feels about all of that, I mean, you'll have to ask him, but I felt like from an organizational standpoint, we kind of pointed out what this was going to look like. Mm-hmm.
A couple other interesting things from Mosellock before we call it a day. They recently acquired Michael Hellman in a waiver trade with the Minnesota Twins, a guy who can play pretty much all over the field. And with that, Mo said that Hellman has a very useful skill set that could end up playing big for this team.
He's just a very athletic, very versatile player. And when you're looking at all these different moving parts, depending on how things fall, gives us a lot more flexibility.
Also, J.J. Weatherholt is in camp. I got the chance to talk with him earlier today. A conversation will play on tomorrow night's Countdown to Opening Day show. One of the top prospects in baseball right now, one of the top prospects in the Cardinals organization, has star written all over him, even though he's likely to begin this season in the minor leagues. But Mo gave his thoughts on his kind of early observations when it comes to J.J. Weatherholt.
He's just an exciting player. I don't know him, like, you know, real personally in terms of, like, friendship-wise, but from when I'm around him, he's just very polite, very sincere. You can tell he's a focused guy. You know, did get to watch him play last year down here in Palm Beach, and, you know, he understands how to hit. So I think, you know, you look at sort of, like, the last 30 years with the Cardinals, and obviously Pujols is an outlier to anything, right? 13th round and ended up being, will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But then I was like thinking about all the people that we've drafted, like a J.D. Drew stands out as, like, you know, the guy had like legitimate skills and kind of performed from day one. And, you know, J.J. might be kind of that next type of person. So, like, you know, that's not him saying he's Pujols or J.D., but, you know, that kind of talent, just you can tell it's going to move quick.
And then the final thing from Mo, I thought this was interesting because he's been doing this for a long time. And this is his final spring training as a president of baseball operations. Maybe it's even his final spring training working in baseball. We don't know what the future is going to hold for Mosellock after this year, except for the fact that he's not going to be in his current role. So you would think that there might be a little bit of reflection, some time kind of looking around. But Mo said that's not the case. He's focused on baseball, he's focused on his job, and he's not doing any reflecting here in his final spring training.
I'm looking at it as just part of my job at the moment. Like, I really haven't had that moment of reflection of, you know, here it is, last time of this example. But, you know, right now it's you know, still trying to figure out a way to, you know, achieve certain goals with this team. And ultimately, that's what we're working towards. You know, I will say, and you know, Derek mentioned it, it's an oddity, right? Like, normally, like, we open this thing with, like, you know, feeling really good about what we accomplished in the offseason, and then the hope of spring, you know, everybody gets excited when they're down here, and we go play baseball. But right now, it's, you have this over our heads, and that's what we're just working through.
That is John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, and that's just about going to do it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida. Again, tomorrow, we've got the countdown to opening day show. Mike Claiborne and myself will come your way from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. A lot to get into. We've got some interviews for you. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be coming up tomorrow evening, so hopefully you can join us for that. But for now, let's go do it. Now, we've got the Gas House Gang on the way next. Today's show features Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and myself. It's a great conversation. Nothing but baseball for the next hour. So that's going to be coming up in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. Thanks so much for being tuned in. I'll talk to you again tomorrow all day long with updates from Jupiter and then the countdown to opening day show coming up tomorrow evening. We will talk to you then right here on KMOX.